for our family moment, Maddie's going to say a prayer for us.
Dear God, I hope that we all have a good service, and that we all have a good day, and that we can have a great time this week. Amen.
Good morning once again. Welcome to the house of the Lord. This morning, as I was trying to prepare for this service, there's a lot of things that are taking place and happening today. So I really am praying that the Lord guides us through all this today. I'm really praying that His Spirit will rest upon us, and that this will be a blessed day for everyone. As I was preparing, I kept trying to figure out what the Lord would like me to bring as a call to worship. And I prayed about it several times, and I looked through several scriptures, and I kept getting drawn back to one scripture. And it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and it is starting with verse 1, and it says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then suddenly destruction cometh upon them as a trial upon a woman with child. And they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of the light and children of the day, and we are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplates of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us the wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." May the Lord bless the understanding of the reading of this. Our special music today comes from us, to us, my brother Colin Madej.
But I Kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this day that you blessed us with. We're grateful, Father, for the spirit that you blessed us with in our worship already this morning. We're grateful for your presence that's here with us. We ask, Father, that you might continue with us today. Continue to guide our worship and to bless us as we seek you. And we thank you also, Lord, for the tremendous blessing of the ordinance that we can all take part in together this morning. I'm so grateful for the opportunity that our families have to bring their little children to you with the assurance that you love them more deeply and dearly than we can ever imagine. That love that you have for them is the same love you have for each one of us, Father. We thank you so much, Father, for the just trust that we can have in you as we entrust our children to you, that you love them and will provide for them and bless them as they grow. Help us, Lord, to be reminded of that great love that you have for each one of us this morning. Again, please continue to be with us and guide and direct us each in our worship, that we all might draw nearer to you and come closer to the love that you have for us. I'm so grateful, Lord, for, again, the day you blessed us with and the opportunity to come into your presence. We pray all these things, Lord, in the most holy name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning. As I was thinking about offering today, I really just want to remind everyone to remember that when we give an offering, it's a gift. And often when we give gifts and offerings, it is more often than not a sacrifice at some level. And when we sacrifice, we are blessing someone or something else because of our sacrifice. And I think it's oftentimes we forget or lose sight of the very real promise that we will also be blessed because of that sacrifice, because of that giving. We're not just giving and offering because somebody else needs it and then it's done. God's promises are ever revolving. And his promise is that we will be blessed as well. And I think it's important to remember that there's nothing wrong with expecting or anticipating in faith and hope that you will be blessed because of your sacrifice and because of your giving. I think of how many people were blessed. I couldn't even begin to quantify it because of the events of 9/11. Think of all the first responders that made sacrifice. They were gone for their from their families for days, weeks, months during the cleanup and lost rescue efforts. And then it also hit me that there's still first responders giving sacrifice because of those events today. Think of all the counselors and other staff and psychologists that are helping people with PTSD and or because they were in there at the time, witnessed it, or because they suffered loss from lost loved ones, etc. I think those people are giving a sacrifice because I doubt they're becoming millionaires because of that. They're giving a sacrifice because they're passionate about helping others, and I guarantee you they're being blessed because of it. Will the men please come forward? Will you all bow with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, and we thank you for everything that you give us, and we thank you that you give us an opportunity to give back. And you make that way for us, and that way comes with many promises that there could be no better design, and we're just so happy for another day, another opportunity to take advantage of your design and your will, Lord. And we pray that this offering will be blessed and be used towards the greater of your will and bring about the cause of Zion to support this branch and all our brothers and sisters here. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I was just looking, and I realized that one of the things that didn't make it into the bulletin today is the fact that there is a baby blessing. Rachel and Greg Schudig are desiring for their baby Miles Dixon to be blessed today, and so, pardon? Didn't see it, I'm sorry. So Rachel and Tom are going to do the special music. I have to apologize because it is there. I don't know how I didn't see that. This time I'd like to read a scripture out of the Doctrine and Covenants, section 17, Verse 19, for every member of the church having children is to bring them unto the elders before the church, who are to lay hands upon them in the name of Jesus Christ and bless them in his name. This is because babies below the age of 8 years old are not able and cannot be accountable at that time. They are innocent. So, at this time, the blessing of Miles Dixon Schudig will be done by Elder Stephen Fertig and assisted by Zach Wilson. And as the parents, Greg and Rachel Schudig, you are in charge of bringing this young child from this day on to learn of the Lord Jesus Christ, to keep your house holy and sanctified, that you might raise him up to be a servant of the Lord, that he might know him, and that he, your house will be loving, kind, and tender, and giving praise and blessings to the Lord from this day on. And as a congregation, we make a commitment that we also will do all that we can in assisting the parents and bringing Miles up to know the Lord and to know those great blessings that the Lord has for him and the great love and the understanding that the Lord has from this day on.
Our most kind and gracious and loving Heavenly Father, as we bring this little one before you, Miles Dixon Schudig, we place our hands upon him that we might present that blessing that only you can provide that can be placed upon this little one. For we know that he has come to us from you, Father, having spent some time in your kingdom. So we ask that as you have given him as a gift to us, that he will be raised by his family, that his parents will teach him the things of you, not only the teachings that he needs to hear, but also the love that you have for him, that he might go forth, Father, with that desire to not only to be with you, but to serve you in the coming days. I pray their home, will be a home of refuge and peace and love, that there will be discipline that will be provided, but also that love that only can come from a mother and father. Father, as we also bless his big brother, Oliver, that he'll be a good big brother, that he will also teach the things he knows. And Father, as we present him to you for this blessing, we ask that you will place him in the book of life, that he will be accounted among the saints and the little ones in heaven. We ask this blessing upon him this day, in Jesus' name.
At this time, I'd like to present the parents with a certificate of the blessing of Miles.
Good morning, everyone. Give me a second to get set up here. Kind of a tough act to follow, the blessing of a young one. You know, what was it that Jesus told the disciples when they were trying to usher the kids away? He said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. When Nathan brought his daughter Maddie up here, the prayer she offered, it's the young ones that matter to us all. It's the young ones that haven't been tainted by the world, by the adversary. These are our most prized possession. The rest of us You know, we're trying. But once we've reached the age of accountability, our garments are no longer white. Although if we truly repent at communion, we can have white garments again. The Lord has pressed upon me. This is only my second talk up here since we gathered back here a little over a year ago from Vancouver, Washington, for those of you that don't know me. My wife and I gathered back last April, lived in our travel trailer for a couple, 3 months, found a house and purchased it, and started going around to different branches and landed here. Not that I didn't feel the Lord's love in the other branches, just something touched my heart here. And I felt the Lord's love so many times. And when I visit other branches, them also. I'd like to share a scripture reading with you, and then I'll get started. This is taken from Matthew chapter 7. Verses 25 to 33. Ye shall know them by their fruits. For do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Verily I say unto you, it is not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, that shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. For the day soon cometh that men shall come before me to judgment, to be judged according to their works. And many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I say, ye never knew me. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So today's talk is about what's our fruit. But before I share that, the Lord's pressed upon me. Being this is my second talk, and my first talk I just preached, I'd like to share a little bit of my background this morning. I know it's not about me up here, it's about him. But I want to share just for a moment, and then I'll go to the talk. I was raised in the Catholic Church. I had godly parents. My mom was a devout Catholic, right up until the day she passed. I was an altar boy for 7 years during that first 17 years of my life, from about the time I was 9 till 16. Went to church many times. Felt the Spirit a few. Felt it at retreats. Felt the Spirit at retreats. But I met my wife in high school. We got married right after she graduated. I graduated the year before she did. And we've been together ever since. She's at Odessa Campground this weekend with the women's retreat. But for that first 17 or so years, I figured I was a pretty devout Catholic. And then for the next 17, 18 years, I just kind of put God in a box, I guess I could say. Put him on a shelf. And I lived my life in a worldly fashion. And then I got in my mid-30s, and something felt like it was missing in my life. Really missing. There was a big empty hole. I was going to service with her ever so often. I was going to a reunion ever so often for a couple days, but there was something missing in my life. So I started going more and more often. And in August of 97, I was at the reunion. And I was sitting three quarters of the way back in the church with my wife and my three baptized children into this church. My wife was raised in the church, by the way. And I'm watching during the communion service on a Saturday. I'm watching the my kids take communion, and they're passing out the emblems. And I'm just sitting quietly. And I hear a voice, an audible voice, just like me speaking to you guys this morning. And this voice, it just says, "It's time." I heard this voice, and I've never heard voices before or since. And I don't think I'm crazy. There are a few that know me now that might think maybe I'm a little crazy. But I heard that voice say, "It's time." And the hair stood up on the back of my neck. And I looked around, and nobody was looking at me or looking around like I was. They were just taking the emblems. So I settled back down. And a second time, I heard this voice. And it said, "It's time." The hair stood up on the back of my neck again. And I looked around again like, who's saying that? But I settled back down. And they were passing out the wine. And the voice said a third time, "It's time, Ed." He put my name to it to let me know he was speaking to me. I've never heard that voice since. But it seems like my heart full of pride had melted that day, that morning, at reunion on Saturday for communion. I kind of describe it as the cartoon, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. And when his heart grows a whole bunch in his chest, when he figures out the meaning of Christmas isn't the gifts and everything, but it's the Lord. I felt like my heart did that, but it melted. It became soft and moldable. And after that service that day, I went to an elder that I had great respect for, that was a retired Marine, and asked him if he would baptize me. I was kind of scared because, you know, for that 17 years, I thought to myself, I've already been baptized. I was baptized as a baby when I was a month old into the Catholic Church by my parents, and I had godparents. But, you know, starting to study Scripture, my heart started to soften. The desires of my heart changed. I no longer had that hardened heart. So I had asked Brother Ray Moreland, if he would baptize me, and he said he would be glad to. Now, I wanted just a small baptism, my wife and my kids, and maybe Ray's wife at the time. She passed away since then. But the church people wouldn't have it. They all had to be there. And I said, if we do this, let's go out to the Lewis River, the Lewis campground. The font at the church would have been okay. The same thing would have happened. But so they said, okay. And I said, I just want the small. But they came out. They all came out. They made it a Sunday service. Their love for me was so great. I went down in the water, and the Lewis River is fed by Mount St. Helens, and it never gets warm. But you know, that day in September of 97, September 14th, which is 3 days from today, this coming Wednesday, I'll be 25 years old, my rebirth day. Do I look pretty good for 25 years old? Kind of prematurely gray, I guess. 25 years ago. You know, and come to find out that my good brother right here, Vaughn, that was his 50th birthday. if you do the math, you know what he's going to be on Wednesday. But what a good day for my life, for the Lord. You know, I'm kind of thick-headed, and the Lord had to smack me with a brick in the side of my head to get my attention. It's all his doing. I know I should be doing my talk and not up here talking about myself, but I'm talking about him and how he transformed me, or I wouldn't be here today. I probably wouldn't even be married to my wife. She never pressured me all those years. She'd always ask me. She was the head of the household. She'd ask me, "You want to come with us on any given Wednesday or Sunday?" And I'd say, "There's a game on, or I got to mow the lawn." Or there was always an excuse. We can all have plenty of excuses to not live for the Lord. And we do. So I just thought I'd share that with you. My life has been so much better. I think I should share that I have three siblings back in Washington. We all live pretty close to each other, and they've pretty much don't want anything to do with me. And that hurts. These are my blood relatives. My folks are gone. So they think I'm in a cult. I guess Jesus Christ, you could call him a cult. The cult. The only cult. And capitalize the C on cult. Being raised a Catholic, I had a lot of bad things to say about this book. But you know, reading it, I've read through it several times, trying to find something I can say is wrong. There is nothing wrong in this book. Nothing at all. And you guys all know that, or you wouldn't even be here today. There's nothing wrong in the Book of Mormon. But what I want to talk about today is, what's our fruit? Do we produce good fruit, or do we produce bad fruit? You know, as a young child, everything we do is good fruit. Even if it's pick on our older siblings or whatever we do, we don't know right from wrong. I think about 21 years ago, just short on this one, anybody that's old enough, anybody that I'd say is in their 30s or older, maybe a little bit younger, can remember exactly what they were doing that morning. It was 9:14 or 9:15 Central Time, but I was still on the West Coast, Southwest Washington. I know exactly what I was doing, and I'm sure that you're all kind of thinking about that right now too, what you were doing at that particular time. So today, let's think about being a tree, being a good, strong tree, one that won't be hewn down, one with deep roots. How deep are our roots? Are they shallow? I know out west, there's a lot of conifers. They're shallow rooted. You don't see as many conifers around here. You see the deep-rooted deciduous trees. Get the higher winds around here. Sometimes a tornado. Heard the warning last Wednesday, every first Wednesday at 11 o'clock. They play that song for about 10 minutes. It seems like they could do it in about 2. Everybody hears that. So let's be a deep-rooted tree. You know, lots of times when we think of trees, we think of the tree that our Lord and Savior was hung on. We think of the tree of life and the tree of good and evil, just to say, name some of the trees. So how can we be a strong, healthy, deep-rooted tree? Physically, we should eat right and exercise oft. Do we all do that? Probably not. I know I don't. Do we eat a lot of junk food? And are we sometimes a couch potato? We've got to remember that our bodies are a temple. And we need to treat them that way. So spiritually, do we have a need to be spiritually fit? Like we have the need to be physically fit? If we treat our bodies like a temple and like the Lord wants us to? Some of us know a lot of scriptures, but does that make us spiritually fit? Our desire has to be to love Him and put Him first in our lives all the time. Not just some of the time, but all the time. Not only do we love Him, we've got to witness for Him. We've got to seek after Him. And we've got to serve Him. Serve Him first. You know, if we think about in the New Testament, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were all to the letter of the law. The law of the first five books of Moses, the Old Testament. That's the letter of the law they were to. They couldn't understand this man that they were hearing about that was doing these, what they were calling magic tricks. So physically, we have a brain up here. Most of us use it quite a bit. And we have a heart that beats. You know, they work together. The brain needs the heart. It needs that oxygenated blood all the time. It can go about 4 minutes without, but then after 4 minutes, the brain starts to degrade and it accelerates the degradation of the brain. And the heart needs the brain because the brain sends an electrical impulse to it to beat, to keep beating. If that electrical impulse stops, the heart stops. And then we stop. We physically stop. So spiritually, we have a mind. Scripture talks about the mind all the time. And we have a soul and a heart. This mind and the soul, they're interconnected. And they work together. Sometimes they work together for not the best outcome. In 3 Nephi 1:39 and 40, insomuch that they began to be hard in their hearts and blind in their minds, and began to disbelieve all which they had heard and seen, imagining up some vain things in their hearts, that it was wrought by men and by the power of the devil to lead away and deceive the hearts of the people. And thus did Satan get possession of the hearts of the people again, insomuch that he did blind their eyes and lead them away to believe that the doctrine of Christ was a foolish and a vain thing. Our minds and our souls, they feed off each other. This determines the condition of the inner man or the inner woman. You know, there's a lot out there that we allow to enter into our hearts, into our minds. And this is through our eyes and our ears. I remember Sherry singing to her daycare, "Be careful, little ears, what you hear, and be careful, little eyes, what you see." Sometimes we can't control what we see or hear. It's there before we can turn away from it. I know I worked at a paper mill almost 35 years, and there was a lot of language that I could not control hearing. I could control what I was saying, but not control hearing. But for the most part, we can control the movies we watch. You're getting a different show up there, huh? The movies we watch, the books we read, the music we listen to, and just the general television that we watch, or the news that we watch. We need to be careful what we put inside us, because once we put that inside us, it becomes part of us. Sometimes we say it's easy to forget things, but when you see something, that has now become a part of you. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. We know that God has the power to put thoughts into our hearts. Section 97, 1D. Therefore, verily I say unto you, lift up your voices unto this people. Speak the thoughts that I shall put into your hearts, and ye shall not be confounded before men, for it shall be given you in the very hour, yea, in the very moment, what ye shall say. So he can put thoughts into our hearts. Normally I just kind of read my talk, but the more that I trust him and put faith in him, the more I can speak without looking at the notes. I spoke many times in Vancouver. I went up to Puyallup branch and spoke up there. But this is just the second time here. Now, are we able to recognize the thoughts that he gives us? Can we tell when it's him putting thoughts in our hearts, in our minds, in our hearts? Do we act on them? Is it the desire of our hearts to act on them? Do we feel his promptings? We know that Satan also has the power to put thoughts into our hearts. In Helaman, second chapter, 151 to 153, he writes, but behold, they were put into the heart of Gadianton by the same being who did entice our first parents to partake of the forbidden fruit. Yea, that same being who did plot with Cain, that if he would murder his brother Abel, it should not be known unto the world. And he did plot with Cain and his followers from that time forth. And also it is that same being who put it into the hearts of the people to build a tower sufficiently high that they might get to heaven. So Satan can put thoughts into our hearts too. Can we discern those? Or do we just have an excuse or shrug them off saying, oh, that could be the Lord. You know, Satan's pretty tricky. Just like he tried to trick the Lord when the Lord was in the desert after he'd fasted. Satan even said, it is written. But there was no trick in Jesus. Not even close. A strong, firmly rooted tree that's rooted in Scripture will be able to discern these thoughts. Not just the knowledge of knowing Scripture, which I'm sure I still have a lot to learn. I'm sure there's a lot of you that know a lot of Scripture. But living it, not just knowing it, we have to live it. We've got an advantage through the Lord, though. Only he knows our thoughts and our hearts. Satan doesn't know what's going through our thoughts and our hearts. Section 6, 7b. Yea, I tell thee, that thou mayest know that there is none else save God that knoweth thy thoughts, and the intents of thy heart. This could be a disadvantage also, though, if our thoughts are impure. If we have evil thoughts, he knows what we're thinking. James, first chapter of James. James 1:13-16. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. What's it say in the Lord's Prayer? Suffer us not to be led in temptation. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We need to exercise our agency to be spiritually fit. And how do we exercise it? By using it. It's like if we have an exercise bike to get physically fit, instead of having all those clothes hanging on it, it should be, and it shouldn't be all dusty, it should be being used to stay physically fit. If we exercise our agency, it'll get stronger. It'll be easier to resist the adversary. We need to embrace God at these temptings and resist the devil. James 1:12, just back up a verse. Blessed is the man that resisteth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist him and he'll go. He doesn't know our thoughts. Sometimes we might have to say out loud, get behind me. That's what Jesus told him in the desert. Get behind me. Get away from me. So if we remember that Satan doesn't know our thoughts, and he does not know our hearts. He might think he knows our hearts sometimes because of the way we act or the words we use, our words and actions. And Satan's watching that and he's going, I think I just about got this guy hooked. But he does not know our hearts or our thoughts like the Lord does. So we just tell him to get away from us. Get behind us. Get out of our lives. He's still going to try. And the more we get closer to Jesus, the more he's going to try. Satan doesn't want to lose us. He's going to try and try and try. But the closer we get to Jesus, the harder it is for him to get to, for the adversary to get to us. Does that make any sense? And if we continually tell Satan to get away from us, get behind us, maybe he'll show up less often. Maybe he'll pop into our thoughts less often. The more we strengthen our hearts and our minds and our souls, the harder he might try to deceive us, but the less successful he'll be. This is the battlefield of the mind. Joyce Meyer has a book out. If you get a chance, it's a pretty good book. It gets kind of deep. Went over my head in a few spots. I'm just a simple man. A millwright. Retired millwright. So we need a healthy diet, both physical and spiritual. So physical food enters in through our mouth, goes to our stomach, and spiritual food enters in through our eyes and our ears. We get that choice on both sides. The spiritual food, or the food we eat, goes from our mouth to our stomach and then into our body. Helps build our body. The spiritual food goes from our eyes and ears to our mind. From our mind to our heart and or soul. And from our heart and soul back to our mind. It goes both ways here. You know the old adage, you are what you eat. Well, spiritually, you are what you take in also. We are what we think, how we act, and what the desires of our hearts are. That's just who we are. That's our demeanor. There's many scriptures that relate to spiritual food. Matthew 4. Matthew 4:4 and 5:8. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, and this is when he's talking to the adversary in the desert. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And 5:8, and blessed are all they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. And in 2 Nephi, wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And 14:4, wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye shall do, what ye should do. Everything that goes into our mouth becomes a part of us. Everything that goes in through our eyes and ears becomes a part of us too. So remember that when you're reading a book. Years ago, I used to read Stephen King. I think I shared that up here last time. That's, you know, it was probably not that bad, but I was consumed with Stephen King. I enjoy reading books written by Arthur Oakman. There's a lot of them. Stuff that's actually feeding us spiritually. It's probably okay to read fiction occasionally, just like it's okay to watch a movie. The Lord wants us to have joy. We just have to be careful how we find that joy. Our thoughts and our words and our deeds, they equal our works. That's who we are. Our thoughts and our words and our deeds equal our works. Mosiah 2:49-50. But this much I could tell you, that if you do not watch yourselves and your thoughts and your words and your deeds, and observe to keep the commandments of God and continue in the faith of what ye have heard concerning the coming of our Lord, even unto the end of your lives, ye must perish. And now, O man, remember and perish not. You know, we find ourselves so occupied by things of the world. I mean, it's easy to be occupied. This causes us to become a spiritual couch potato. We'd rather get home from work or whatever we're doing and watch the news instead of pick up the scriptures or turn on PureFlex. That's what I try to watch. Sherry and I try to watch more PureFlex and less worldly shows. Now, PureFlex is a worldly show, but it's been filtered several times, and it's usually got a pretty good moral, pretty good teachings in PureFlex movies and series. I know none of us want to be spiritual couch potatoes. I know I don't want to be. I'm fighting it every day. John, 6th chapter of John, 26 and 27. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye desire to keep my sayings, neither because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man hath power to give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." And Mark 8, 39 and 40. "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Therefore deny yourselves of these, and be not ashamed of me." And then one more in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 38. "Wherefore, seek not the things of this world, but seek ye first to build up the kingdom of God, and to establish his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So, let's try to keep off the couch more, physically and spiritually. Alma puts it in pretty plain and precious perspective in chapter 5. Verses 33 to 37. "For I perceive that ye are in the paths of righteousness. I perceive that ye are in the path which leads to the kingdom of God. Yea, I perceive that ye are making his paths straight. I perceive that it hath been made known unto you by the testimony of his word that he cannot walk in crooked paths, neither doth he vary from that which he hath said. Neither hath he a shadow of turning from the right to the left, or from that which is right to that which is wrong. Therefore his course is one eternal round. And he does not dwell in unholy temples, neither can filthiness or anything which is unclean be received into the kingdom of God. Therefore I say unto you, the time shall come, yea, and it shall be at the last day, that he which is filthy shall remain in his filthiness." And Alma 3, 60 to 68. "For behold, the time is at hand that whosoever bringeth forth not good fruit, or whosoever doeth not the works of righteousness, the same hath cause to wail and mourn. O ye workers of iniquity, ye that are puffed up in the vain things of the world, ye that have professed to have known the ways of righteousness, nevertheless ye have gone astray as sheep having no shepherd. Notwithstanding, a shepherd hath called after you, and art still calling after you, but ye will not hearken unto his voice. Behold, I say unto you that the good shepherd doth call you, yea, and in his own name he doth call you, which is the name of Christ. And if ye will not hearken unto the voice of the good shepherd, to the name by which ye are called, behold, ye are not the sheep of the good shepherd. And now if ye are not the sheep of the good shepherd, of what fold are ye? Behold, I say unto you that the devil is your shepherd, and ye are of his fold. And now, who can deny this? Behold, I say unto you, whosoever denieth this is a liar and a child of the devil. For I say unto you that whatsoever is good cometh from God, and whatsoever is evil cometh from the devil. Therefore, if a man bringeth forth good works, he hearkeneth unto the voice of the good shepherd, and he doth follow him." Brothers and sisters, we can't be on a fence. We're either for him or we're against him. We can't sit on the fence. We have to be all in or turn and walk away. It's that simple. We're either for him or we're against him. So let's do like we just read there. Let's follow the Good Shepherd and not the things of this world. Let our fruits be good fruits. And let's be that deep-rooted tree that stands strong for our Lord and Savior. Thank you.
We're going to stand and sing hymn number 368. We'll remain standing for the benediction with Brother Andy Neal. Andrew Dunning.
Father in heaven, Lord, I come to you now in a prayer of benediction. I pray that as we go forth from this place that we would take those words that our brother Ed has shared with us, and that we might take them in our hearts and consider them and ponder these things this day, that we might become the people that you have called us to be and strive to draw closer together and be a part of that kingdom that you have called. Father, I thank you for your many blessings in our lives, and I pray that you will just give us safety throughout this day as we all head home. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let me go through a few announcements quickly. It's important. I don't want anybody to miss or be unaware of events. The church has a lot of events going on. Tomorrow night, here at the church, 7 o'clock, there will be a first of several priesthood classes. Please plan to attend. The classes will be Zoomed, so those of you that don't make it to the church, you priesthood members that don't make it to the church, it will be carried on Zoom, so you can get in. I say Zoom, that's not correct. Live stream. It's going to be live streamed tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Our next joint prayer service, September the 21st, will be at Missionary Branch. Missionary Branch will be in charge. Take note of the green insert into your bulletin. There's a concert at Zion's Ridge this weekend, Saturday the 17th at 5 o'clock, trying to raise money to build a new kitchen facility, a kitchen facility. It's important for us to support that. It's beautiful campgrounds. If there's any chance you haven't been there, you need to, this is your opportunity to go. There's going to be beautiful music, and it'll be a nice evening. No Kingdom Men's Breakfast this month in support of the CPRS Junior Class Breakfast fundraiser on the 17th. Reminder, we have our next prayer walk on Saturday, September 17th at 9 o'clock. Join us at the church at 9 o'clock before we go out on the prayer walk. Sunday, September 18th at 6 o'clock will be our 2023 pastoral election and business meeting. If you want to nominate, if you're preparing to nominate anyone for pastor for next year, please have talked to that candidate before you nominate them. We will also be talking about replacement of our piano, and we've made a little progress on that. We found a couple that the music department are going to be looking at, so, but we need to get that approved or not approved by the branch before we go forward. Reminder to register to the priesthood assembly in Kirtland, which comes up at the end of this month. Only two more slots in our 24-hour prayer. I think it's 3 and 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Please sign up if you haven't. For your information, the branch, our branch, several of it, Janet and Jack and I made a trip down to Kingsville yesterday to provide some materials that are much needed by the Amish family that were rear-ended in their buggy. If you haven't heard that story in the news, it was just devastating. That buggy was hit by a car going 75 miles an hour. And one of the children is still in Children's Mercy and in a coma. The rest of the family has been greatly blessed. I'm sure she has been also. But the rest of the family is making quick recovery. It's been 2 weeks. And our congregation provided them with diapers, Tide, blankets, a lot of things that they needed. So they were appreciative of that. Quick update on Brother Larry Kane. He did go home from the hospital this week. He's had his, I think they called it an infusion. There's a fancier name for it, but his stem cells were trained, if you will, and then put back into his body. It was a very painful experience for our brother. It caused some issues for him, but he's on the mend, and I talked to Joy yesterday. They would really appreciate prayers. Our brother Larry feels the prayers when they're lifted up by this branch on his behalf. So please don't forget your brother in your prayers. Mark your calendar for branch retreat, which will be at Odessa Hills on the 28th. Birthdays. Nobody wants us to forget their birthday, and I appreciate that. We have a bunch of birthdays this time. Sarah Cornish's birthday will be tomorrow. Vaughn Cornish's birthday will be Wednesday. Scott Staten's birthday Friday. And Julie Bettler's birthday is September the 11th. So lead us in happy birthday to you. Our bulletin was actually put together by our sister Dawn. It was composed by her, and I just thought it was beautiful. I thought you should know that that was a composition that was put together by Sister Dawn. I've got one more thing, and then Brother Zach's going to come up. Zion's League is meeting today at the church at 4 o'clock. So if you're Zion's League age, please join us at the church.
Sorry, just one quick announcement. If you happen to miss Sunday school this morning, it was honestly, it was an excellent Sunday school class brought to us this morning by Danny Height. He joined us from Oak Grove. I encourage you to watch that. It's really focusing on how together as branches, members of the Restored Gospel, how we can work together to promote the kingdom. And so we have had a variety of speakers over the weeks, and so if you haven't had a chance to join us on Sunday mornings, feel free to. It's we've really been blessed with some strong ministry in that department. We also have our strong kids classes as well, and so just want to put that out there as well. So look forward to seeing you all next week.